became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Jesus answered and said to them, Indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And the third day, he will be raised up. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. When they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, Does your teacher not pay the temple tax? He said, Yes. And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers? Peter said, From strangers. Jesus said to him, Then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. That is the reading.
Amen. Thank you. I'm going to be speaking this morning from my phone. Hopefully that will bring the message across on Zoom. We can hear it quite clearly here in the chapel as well. We give God thanks for his amazing faithfulness. The worship this morning was so precious, and I love the way in which we focused on the faithfulness of our God. And as we look around in our community and in our church, we see something about God's grace over us. If you were to walk down in the cafe area, you would begin to see how we are taking out the old counter. We're putting in a new counter, getting ready to launch our a wonderful, by God's grace, coffee cafe, which also will sell a cup of tea for those who would like to come and be refreshed with tea. We also, this week, have appointed our cafe manager, a lovely lady called Siobhan, who has had experience as a youth worker, a family worker in one of the Baptist churches in London, and is also a qualified leader, manager of Kahila, a church coffee project with so much to offer us. It is so exciting. And then we have supporting her the potential of an assistant called Vanessa, who is also qualified as the barista coffee maker. And all of that is starting to come together right now. The reason we agreed as a church just before the pandemic that we wanted to open the coffee, True Brew coffee shop, was so that we could follow through on our project, which is to embrace Wandsworth for Christ. We want to be a church that not only is a lighthouse proclaiming faithfully the word of God to this community, to the city, and in fact to the whole world. We want to be a church that connects with our community, that includes all those who sometimes feel left out of the main line of life, the main line of being able to survive, those who need love and support and encouragement. We want to be able to reach them. We want to be able to share Christ's love with them and touch them. But a coffee project doesn't just happen because some of us have thought it might be a good idea. The coffee committee has worked incredibly hard to put the whole project together. The leaders have prayed and worked together to make the coffee effective, to make the opportunity effective. But it doesn't just happen on its own. And church doesn't just happen on its own. It takes a lot of hope and prayer and faith and work. And it takes commitment from all of us to take the church to the next level. And one of the ways we are able to reach our community, to share Christ's love with the whole community, everyone in Wandsworth, we hope, will feel welcome and loved and will find a sanctuary in our True Brew Cafe at the corner of the church. We want the community to feel welcomed in our church and near our church. But in order for that to happen, in order for that to actually really make an impression, we have to understand that something of God doesn't happen without prayer, without fasting, without faith. You see, faith is an action. Faith is saying, Lord, I believe that we are doing, we've prayed, we want to serve you, we want to honor you. But for this to work, we also need to step out, as it were, of the boat of our traditional security and step out onto the ocean of trusting God, where we know it's going to be difficult, where we know it's going to be challenging, where we don't know what's going to happen in terms of people coming in. We're taking a step of faith when we do that. Faith is an action in seeking to go in the direction that we believe God wants us to go. But we can't do it on our own. The managers that we appointed last week cannot do it on their own. The cafe committee cannot do it on their own. The leaders cannot do it on their own. We, all of us, need to now take seriously the fact that something amazing is about to happen, and we need to get together in prayer and pray the prayer of faith, believing in our hearts that the Lord will help establish this work this next phase, this next opportunity to build the church and connect the church with the community. Faith is an action of the heart, believing in the promises of God. Martin Luther King, that great Baptist preacher and civil rights leader of the 60s and 70s, said it like this. He said, God's promise is, when you come to trust them, is like having faith. And faith is taking the first step, even when you cannot see the whole staircase. Faith is taking the first step, even when you cannot see the whole staircase. Charles Spurgeon, that other great Baptist preacher from the 19th century, said this about trusting in God's promises. Faith goes up the stairs that love has built, and then looks out and opens the window and looks out at the windows from the windows which hope has opened. Faith is climbing up the stairs that love has built, and then looking out and shouting out and reaching out from the windows that hope has opened. Jesus said it this way. He said, for assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, move from here to there. And it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. If you have faith, even as a mustard seed, as small as a mustard seed, but believing in God's power and God's ability, if you have faith and belief in your heart, even if it's small, you will say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Taking hold of the seeds of faith is simply taking hold of the promises of God and believing on them and acting on them. A Bible teacher once said, faith is what you lean on when you begin to work and follow God's direction. Faith is what you lean on. It's an action. Hebrews chapter 10 says this, hold on, grasp, hold on to the unswervable promises of God, for God is faithful to give you more than you hope or think. Hold on to the unswervable promises of God, for God is faithful to give you more than you can possibly hope or think. You see, God is faithful to his promises. God will not step back from his promises. It's in the character of our God to be faithful to what he has promised us. And our faith lets us trust those promises. Lets us stand on those promises. Lets us lean on those promises. It's an action that is stirred in our hearts. So firstly, today we are called to grasp the seed of faith, the mustard seed of faith. We all have mountains to deal with. Just on Thursday evening at Bible College, we were talking about the mountains of opposition to Christian heart and Christian attitude that comes in the workplace. And a number and some of our students were sharing how hard it is sometimes when they feel overwhelmed, they feel a bit bullied, and sometimes a bit different from those who they're working with. And in the discussion on Thursday, we were talking about how that can come across as a mountain. And it can be discouraging, and it can be hard to go to work when you feel there's a mountain in the way. We all have mountains. And as we prayed about it and discussed it and talked about it, we heard the testimony from one of ours in the college who said, one of the students who said, eventually after much prayer, and we've been praying for a while and preparation, they went and spoke to the mountain directly. They spoke to the mountain, and the mountain moved. And the mountain turned around and, in fact, affirmed the person that they were speaking to. The mountain moved because they spoke to the mountain in faith. Now, you may have a mountain in your life. There may be a mountain that you can think about. And what Jesus is saying about that mountain is he's saying, if you approach that mountain in faith, even if your faith is small, even if you feel insufficient, but you believe in God's ability and power, then you can speak to that mountain and tell that mountain to move from here to there, and it will move. And then Jesus says, nothing will be impossible for you, nothing, because you are now acting and living in faith, dealing with the mountains that are blocking the progress to God's work in your life. We all have mountains, but there comes a time when we need to address that mountain and speak to that mountain, and in faith, tell that mountain to move. And in faith, as we trust God in the power and authority of God, the mountain will move from here to there and make a way where sometimes we feel there is no way. So firstly, we are called to grasp the seed of faith. But secondly, today, we are also called in the Word of God to sow the seeds of faith, to be like the farmer who goes onto the field and takes his seeds and scatters them. We all know that hymn, plow the fields and scatter. We usually sing it around harvest time. Scatter the seed onto the soil. Scatter the seed in generosity, and let the seed of God's promises and God's faith fall on the ground. Jesus in Matthew 13 told another parable, another story, and he said this. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a field. And the farmer goes out and he takes the seed and he scatters the seed, the good seed. And he sows the seed all around his fields. And then he goes away. And then at night, an enemy comes into the field, sneaks into the field, and he takes seed, but his seed is toxic. His seed is weeds. And he sows the weeds on the same field. And he scatters his seed on the same field. And then when the wheat began to grow, the weeds began to come up alongside the wheat. And the servants went and said to the master, how can this be? Did you not just sow good seed in the field? And the master said, this is the work of an enemy. He must have sneaked in. And they said, master, do you want us to uproot these weeds? Let's get rid of them. And the master said, no, leave them to grow alongside the wheat. Because sometimes they look so similar, you may, in fact, uproot a good plant. And you may destroy a good plant while you're trying to take out the roots and uproot the bad plants and the toxic plants. So no, leave them. Let them grow. And when it comes to harvest time, I will tell the harvesters to harvest and separate the wheat from the weeds. And the wheat I will take into my barn, and the weeds we'll chuck into the fire and burn them all up. And later, Jesus told his disciples the meaning of that. He said, the person, the good farmer is me, is God and God's word, and the seed is the word of God. And I've come into the world to sow the good seed. And in a way, we are the servants also called to sow the good seed. That is what we are called to do. We are called to sow the seed of God's word, the promises of God to our community. And then he said the enemy that came in was the devil. And he scattered poisonous seed that grew up alongside the same, the good seed. And he said the harvesters are the angels at the end of time. And the good wheat is those who have received God's word and are God's people. And they will be harvested into the safety of God's barn. But the poisonous wheat are those who are of the devil. And they will be separated and they will be burnt. And what is happening there is an incredible message for us today, because if ever there was a picture of what's going on in the world today, it is this picture. It is this parable. And what God is saying to us is he's saying there is good seed, and our job and our work is to sow the world and to sow the seed of God's promises, to share the hope of Christ, to share the love of the cross and the meaning of the cross, and that the blood of the cross can save us from our sin and bring life and hope to our community and bring the message of eternal life to the people. That is our job. That is the seed we are to scatter. But there are others out there that are sowing the opposite. There are others out there that are sowing seeds of confusion and derision, especially against God's word and God's message. And the temptation is for us to go and uproot those people and uproot those people that are in opposition to us and take them on. Yes, we must be salt. Yes, we must let them know that what they're doing is not good and stand firmly on the word of God. But it is not our job to uproot them. That's God's job. God will sort that out. Our job is to sow the good seed. And that is really a wonderful picture of today. In the story of Jesus' life, in the message of Jesus' life, he was walking back to Jerusalem through Samaria. And Samaria was a place where people welcomed the message generally. They responded to the hope of eternal life, the Samaritans. But they heard that Jesus was going to Jerusalem, so they got to the city, and everybody turned their back on him and would not listen to him. And the two disciples, who are called the sons of thunder, came to Jesus and said, "Lord, look at how they're treating you, these Samaritans. Can we not call fire upon them? Let us call fire down from heaven and blast them to smithereens for their bad behavior, for dissing you and for treating you this way." And Jesus said, "No, that's not how it works. We'll move on. We'll share the message, and those who receive it, and we'll move on." Because it's not our role to uproot the corruption and the confusion and the wickedness that is all around us. Our role is to show Christ and sow Christ and let God deal with the issue. Let God deal with the problem. And he will deal with the problem in his time. But we can have confidence that we are doing what God has called us to do, to sow the seeds of faith and life and hope through the message of the cross and through eternal life through Jesus Christ. So we firstly hold on to the seed of faith, even if it's a mustard seed. We hold on to it and we act on it and we get out of the boat and we trust God to do good things. We pray the prayer of faith as a church. We pray that God will help us in our outreach to the community. We pray that God will stir a revival on our people as we seek to come back from this pandemic into church to stir up and share and celebrate in the fellowship of the people of God and the word of God. We pray in faith that God will do these things. It's an action. It's not just an idea. We secondly sow generously the word of God, the seed of God. We put it out there and we sow it to the world and we let the world see it and we share it for Christ's sake and for the sake of the gospel. But thirdly, we are also called to harvest the crop. In a way, we are also part of those who will bring into the barn the good seed. We are part of those who will bring in the good seed into the kingdom of God. And that message comes when Jesus says to us, "The harvest is plentiful." Don't be confused. There are many people walking these streets that are just ready to hear the word of God and receive it with joy and have their lives changed for eternity. They are ripe for the harvest. And our job is to go and to share Christ with them and then bring them into the Lord and to his people and to nurture them and encourage them and strengthen them and build them up and encourage them in the Lord. That is our job. Harvest the good seed, harvest the fruit. And the Lord says, pray to the Lord of the harvest, because it is abundant. It's all over. The fruit is out there, that he will send workers to help you to get out there. And that must be our prayer as we prepare to come back, as we prepare to pick up after this time out that we've had, that we pray the Lord will bring in abundant harvesters, people like our coffee cafe managers, who already have such experience in reaching communities and families for Christ, that the Lord will bring more like that into our community, into our church, that we together will be able to bring in the harvest. And so today, we are encouraged to hold firmly the seed of faith. Believe, it's an action. And in holding that seed of faith, know that nothing is impossible for you. And that you can literally speak to the mountains that are getting in the way of your growth and your love and your hope for Christ, and speak to those mountains, and those mountains will move in accordance with God's will and God's plan, will move from here to there, and you will be able to move forward in your life, and nothing will be impossible for you. You are to also, we are encouraged to scatter the seed. Be generous wherever you can. Share the hope of Christ. Start actively getting involved again. Don't be intimidated. Don't step back. Share the hope that you have. Try and speak to that person on the subway, on the tube. Try and speak to that person in the bus that you may be sitting next to, and just share something of Christ's hope with them. Carry tracts with you, seeds with you, and leave them and hand them out. But become active in sharing generously the seed of God's hope. And lastly, become a harvester. Reach out and bring them in to God's barn of protection and encouragement and strengthening into the church itself. And if we are able to do these and begin to become more active in our faith, more proactive in our desire to sow the seed and not worry too much about the toxic weeds that are out there. Let God deal with those. But do what we are called to do. Become active in what we have been called to be. Then God surely will strengthen our faith. God surely will encourage us in our faith. And we will see projects like the True Brew Cafe take root and flourish, because in part we've prayed with a heart of faith, believing that God will do this thing. And we've given what we can, and we've given and contributed as much as we can to the success of his work for the kingdom of God. But it's time for us to let faith become unleashed in our church and in our lives. And that means we need to begin to pray with faith and trust and hope. May God help us to be those people. May we start to kindle a fire of great faith and hope and seed-giving life to our community. We can't not be committed. We have to give everything to the kingdom of Christ, to his calling. We cannot be halfway there. We have to be totally there. May God give us the grace to be a totally 100% committed, faithful church, walking with faith in this generation by his grace. Amen. 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 And as we consider that message, let us together this morning come, let us stand together, and let us sing a hymn that reminds us of God's grace, sovereign grace and glory. Let's worship him.